Blog Talk Radio.
Friedrich Nietzsche, who was referred to often in Nazi propaganda and their thinking, he was also an anti-Semite. Great boxer, the great John L. Sullivan, his birthday today. Great English writer, P.G. Wodehouse. Canadian, who emigrated legally to the United States, professor in economics at Harvard, and became a fixture of the Kennedy, one of the fixtures of the Kennedy administration, John Kenneth Galbraith. A great, very erudite journalist, a real journalist, and CBS correspondent, Robert Trout. He had a very rich voice. Another Kennedy fixture, who was a speechwriter for Kennedy, Arthur Schlesinger Jr. Kennedy's first appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court, Byron White was a football player at the University of Colorado, later became a lawyer, and was a deputy attorney general in the only John F. Kennedy administration. And one of the classmates of Byron Wright at law school was an Air Force colonel who started to work on the Steve Nery U.S. Navy case, the U.S. Navy sailor case, but this colonel died, unfortunately. If you remember the Godfather, Mario Puzo, his birthday today. Guy who turned Chrysler around, Lee Iacocca, and also Ford, and later got fired, Lee Iacocca. A great actress. I think she was involved with Howard Hughes, Jean Peters. She was also in the famous movie Viva Zapata about a Mexican freedom fighter, and starred Marlon Brando, excuse me. And the Duchess of York, Sarah Ferguson, not related to Ferguson, Missouri. She's divorced from Prince Edward. One of the deaths today, a couple of them all involving treason in their various countries, two of them. Mata Hari, who was an Indonesian exotic dancer, became a spy for the Germans in World War I. Famous movie with Greta Garbo played Mata Hari in a couple other movies. Mata Hari was apprehended by the French military intelligence, and she was executed. In World War II, a French lawyer was also part of the Vichy neo-Nazi government. He started as a socialist, got involved with so-called reform and late corruption in France in World War II. Pierre Laval, he was executed. Hermann Göring, the founder of the Luftwaffe in World War II, he was a World War I famous aviator. He was known as Der Dicky Fat Boy because of his greed, his pedophilia, and his theft of artwork throughout Europe. Hermann Göring. He was to be executed at Nuremberg, but he took poison. He had it concealed in his big fat butt. Great composer, one of America's greatest composers, Cole Porter. And he was born, he died today. He worked in World War. He was ambulance driver in World War One, and he later broke his leg, and he wrote a lot of music. Excuse me, and he became a partial invalid, but he was the only composer who didn't use a librettist. He was his own librettist. And we had another minor problem here. Let me see if I can get it fixed up here. let's get back to our episodes here. And also today, another death. Another, let's see, among the events today, we have, Washington's first presidential tour in 1789, and the presidents have taken these tours ever since. And then we have, let's see, who else was on the, a little slow here, Cliff House, was listed as one of the most famous, 10 famous restaurants in California. It's on the beach in San Francisco. A lot of people think that the food is overrated. In 1883, the U.S. Supreme Court, also known as SCOTUS, declared that the 1875 Civil Rights Act was unconstitutional. Now, what people should realize is when the U.S. Supreme Court can do a couple of things, they get about 10,000 appeals every year. There's only 9 judges, and then there's staff clerks and staff attorneys and librarians. And so these cases are screened before the justices even see them in closed conference, and only Supreme Court can only overrule itself, and it has in cases of separate but equal. When it ruled in Plessy versus Ferguson in 1875 case, where blacks tried to get equal civil rights and accommodation, and the U.S. Supreme Court decided that accommodation should be separate, they would be equal, but separate. Later that was overturned by the grandson of the Associate Supreme Court Justice, who was part of the majority in that decision. And this gay marriage thing, the Supreme Court did not certiorari the appeals that came up from the various state attorney generals and other what are called amicus groups. What happened was they declined to hear it. That doesn't mean that the appeal is illegal. That's the way of the political maneuver to avoid dealing with the question. Now, it doesn't mean that the U.S. Supreme Court can at a later date decide to certiorari the appeals and to hear them, and that's going to be very acrimonious when that happens, and we predict it will happen, knowing something about the history of the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, those of us who are musicians, there was a group called ASCAP. It was started in 1914, and it was set up to defend the rights of composers, publishers, and musicians. And, of course, now with equal educational use of material, you can do certain things, so as long as you're not personally profiting from them. 1949, Billy Graham is well known as a political, some people think political preacher. He started his crusade. And 1962, getting back to Byron White, he was appointed Kennedy's first appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court of SCOTUS. In 1991, Bush H.W. Appointed Clarence Thomas, the black, to succeed Thurgood Marshall, a liberal civil rights attorney. And Clarence Thomas studied to be a Roman Catholic priest, but then converted to Episcopalianism, and he's married to a white woman, and has been he was the subject of acrimonious accusations that he had sexually harassed Anita, I got her last name, she's eminently forgettable, but it turns out this woman was a flake. And Clarence Thomas was attacked because he was a black who supposedly betrayed his his race. We're hearing that all along. Now, what's going on? In 1950, there was a great movie called Panic in the Streets, and it was about an event where an illegal jump ship in New Orleans, and he spread, he had bubonic plague, and he was spreading. He was trying to evade apprehension, and Widmark played a U.S. Public Health Service doctor. You don't hear of them anymore. And he was trying to, he learned about this mysterious death of this guy, and they didn't know what it was. And finally, the autopsy and examination of the tissue from the corpse revealed this guy had bubonic plague, and people he came into contact didn't know this. And so when they wanted to learn about it, there was a lot of panic. People who had come in contact with this illegal were trying to evade apprehension by the health authorities. And, of course, and it's interesting that it happened in New Orleans, as they say. And Louisiana is also the only site of the nation's only leprosarium, leper colony. I think it was recently closed. But here is a clip from the movie's trailer, and I think it's very relevant to what's going on with Ebola and enterovirus and TB. We're really under assault, even by these diseases that we long thought. Were cured, especially tuberculosis. No, enterovirus and Ebola is something new, but there is panic out there because people feel that the government hasn't told us the entire story. So there may be the rest of the story coming out, and even Bill O'Reilly excoriated the government for giving us happy talk and trying to allay our fears with false information. But here's this clip.
We can't track down an unknown killer in 2 days.
He's absolutely right, but there's only one way to do this.
You get on the radio
and panic the city? Oh, wait a minute.
Here with recorded is the story of a silent, savage menace. How for 3 days a great American city found itself outside the United States of America. The events, incidents, and emotions of the people who were a part of it, who found time running out as they looked into the face of mortal peril.
I knew you guys were crazy.
Wait a minute, Neff, wait a minute.
Wait for what? Somebody else to die?
You two men! Listen to me! I've got something to tell you! Now, what am I supposed to do? Just sit here and watch?
Listen, Doctor, I'm taking a chance that you may be right. You take a chance that I know what I'm doing and let me do it. As a matter of fact, you'd help us both out if you went home and went to bed.
And I'm not going to wait until the facts penetrate that thick skull of yours. There just isn't that much time.
I got to get out of here.
Hey.
What?
Try and get back early if you can, won't you?
Yeah, I'll try.
Where's the other man?
Okay.
All right, come on, get out of there.
It's an interesting movie clip, but it could be very relevant to what's going on with Ebola today because we don't know how to stop it and how to prevent other people, even medical people, from coming in contact with it and being contaminated. Now, among the other things that are relevant in our news today is in late 1800s, Congress decided to deal with the issue of polygamy, and there was getting tired of the Mormons evading the issue. And so Congress, under prodding by Senator Edmunds from Vermont, U.S. Senator, did a lot of legislation. They passed the Edmunds Act, which defined marriage as being between one man and one woman. Homosexuality, lesbianism, NAMBLA, and all that was not relevant at the time. People didn't think about those things per se. And so that wasn't part of this legislation. But the question is, did Congress define marriage in the legislation proposed and passed by Senator Edmunds? It's an interesting question. Now, dealing with the Mormon youth now, we have discovered in our research on how young people are targeted, young men, males especially, by the video voyeurs, we now have websites targeting Mormon youth. They're called Brethren. And there's some awful salacious stuff on the web. We're not going to publish what's the vivid obscenity of this stuff. But now the Mormon youth are accused of engaging in some of the most disgusting sexual practices. We'll leave it at that. Now, coming this Friday is the rest of the story of the 1989 earthquake, which I witnessed. And, of course, we heard about the Napa earthquake about a month ago, and it was a news clip about federal funds not being accounted for. Well, this is not the first time this has happened. In 1989, we discovered David Fowler, who was the late David Fowler, my friend and associate in the media, and also he worked for FEMA and was a consultant on the 9/11 building. Excuse me, and he died in 2001 in September. Anyway, we discovered that a lot of people were claiming earthquake damage, including one was a deputy California State Attorney General who was corrupt as hell. And she claimed that she had earthquake damage on one of her houses here in San Francisco. And we found out that she pushed those things through a small business association, SBA, which nobody has looked at apparently, and that federal organization funded some of the claims of damage during the 1989 earthquake, and it's much worse than even I've learned about from what I'm told. Talking about another earthquake in Fukushima, the nuclear disaster, we have learned that controversial Japanese construction firms, I think Obayashi is one of them, they are accused of having Yakuza connections. That's the Japanese mafia. And they are now using homeless men to clean up that disaster. Now, as bad as the Russians were at Chernobyl, as far as we know, they didn't use homeless people to try to clean up that mess. And I understand Chernobyl is an off limits. Nobody wants to go there. We have an election in California and a national election coming up in about 3 weeks, and one of the controversial propositions on the California ballot is Proposition 46, the Dr. No proposition, and some political and medical cognoscenti are referring to it as the Dr. No proposition because the people who oppose it will not disclose the fact that one of the reasons that they oppose it is, and some insurance companies and corrupt adjusters oppose it, because they hire these so-called medical whores. These are doctors, mostly retired doctors, who lowball claims of workman's comp and other medical claims by claimants who have been injured. And they falsify and fictionalize medical reports for insurance companies. That's why they're called medical whores. It's not only here in California. It's all across the U.S. and Canada. There's one case in Michigan where this woman, orthopedic soldier, has fictionalized some an alleged 3,000 medical reports. And, you know, it's people who file workman's comp compensation claims, you know, they're trying to survive and pick up what's left of their lives, and you have these medical whores who do this and violate the Hippocratic Oath all in the name of enriching themselves. Some of these people make millions of dollars, and there are cases in, there's one case in federal court in New York where they caught this doctor, he's about 80 years old, who has falsified even his testimony in federal court. So, and in Canada, the same thing is happening. So these things are out there, and people need to realize it, especially if you or somebody you know or somebody in your family gets hurt on the job. They're sent to these doctors, these medical horse, and they'll try to lowball the claim, say you really weren't hurt or you weren't hurt as much or you had previous injuries and this doesn't count and all that sort of thing. So ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you. And Cole Porter, who was injured in a horseback riding accident, he went to Yale. His family, his grandfather, wanted him to go to Yale Law School. He dropped out, decided to become a musician, which was his real talent and his real love. And he was injured horseback riding, and he had a lot of he had to deal with orthopedic surgeons all his life. Orthopedics weren't as advanced as it is today, and he had many operations on his legs, but he was his own librettist, and he was a great composer. Unfortunately, he didn't like blacks, per se, and he was a buddy-buddy of Monty Woolley, who was a professor at English at Yale University, but Monty Woolley liked black sailors. Interesting, but here's a little clip from Cole Porter in our archives.
On Plymouth Rock, if today any shock they should try to stem, instead of landing on Plymouth Rock would land on them. In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking, but now God knows anything goes. Good offers to who wants. Better words now only used for letter words, writing prose. Anything goes. If driving fast cars you like, if low bars you like, if old hymns you like, if fair limbs you like, if Mae West you like, or me undressed you like, why nobody will oppose. When every night the set that smart is intruding at nudist parties in studio. Anything goes. When a Mrs. Ned McLean, God bless her, can get Russian red to yes, then I suppose anything goes. When Rockefeller still can hoard enough money to let Mac Gordon produce his show, anything goes. The world has gone mad today, and good's bad today, and black's white today, and day's night today, and that gent today, you gave a cent today, once had several chateaus. When folks who still can ride in jitneys find out Vanderbilts and Whitneys lack baby clothes, anything goes. When Sam Goldwyn can with great conviction instruct Anna Sen in diction, then Anna shows anything goes. When you hear that lady mental standing up, now does a handspring landing up on her toes, anything goes. Just think of those shocks you got, and those knocks you got, and those blues you got from those news you got, and those pains you got, if any pain you got from those little radios. So Mrs. R, with all her trim and can broadcast the bed from Simmons, cause Frank will know anything goes.
Now, something else about Cole Porter, he's from a class of people who do this. They're wealthy people who are gay in their private life, and they get married. And, of course, he was married to a wealthy Indiana woman named Linda Lee Thomas, and she was reportedly a lesbian. And, of course, people accepted those things from those people in society, and they didn't talk about it. But this is these are situations that go on even today. People who are in the closet who are prominent in the media and politics, judiciary, often use what they call beards. Can be either a man or woman. Gay man uses a straight woman, that's a beard, or a gay woman uses a lesbian woman uses a straight man, that's another beard situation. But in Cole Porter's case, there were two gays, and of course Monty Woolley was gay, great buddy. He was a great raconteur, and you can see him in The Man That Came to Dinner. It's a great film. Anyway, this was the lifestyle, but he didn't molest children, and he really produced, he created and contributed to American culture, and that's what he should be remembered by. So we'll be back Friday, and we're going to discuss panic in the streets, this Ebola epidemic, and, how we need to deal with this, and also why these illegal children migration, some of the controversial politicians pushing this agenda are not offering these kids medical coverage to see that they are not coming in here carrying any diseases. We've already got enterovirus that's hitting our schools, and of course we've got Ebola, which is hitting our medical facilities and elsewhere. So we need to, get a handle on this and get beyond the political agenda. And also we'll be discussing the 1989 earthquake, which I remember that walking in the streets at the time coming from the gym for my physical therapy, and what really happened and the research that David Fowler and I did on how buildings were yellow tagged. The yellow tag was for buildings that were supposedly damaged and weren't, and how the real estate racketeers did what they did in 1906, a very similar thing, when a lot of real estate was hijacked by these corrupt real estate operatives and developers. And, of course, we had the mayor at the time, Schmitz, who was later prosecuted, leftist mayor. And then, of course, in the 1989 earthquake, we had Art Agnos, who came here from Massachusetts and was one of the most controversial and corrupt mayors the city has ever had. And he's still around and trying to do some of the same things, so his detractors say. Anyway, we'll end with our usual politics and poker and have a safe. We'll be back Friday.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
Cost you five. Pony, up to you.
I'm in.
So am I.
I find.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace. You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the cash?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we can make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bat up.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
cry, Michael Fajicinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, running neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average guy a heavy smoker. Let alone the need and give him a regard. And watch why he learns that in poker and politics, brother, you gotta have that slippery, haphazardous commodity. You gotta have the card.
We'll be back Friday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. This is Peter Paul Brizola. Have a safe rest of the week, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS YouTube, and AMICUSVERTAS.net and .org. Good night.